I've been asked to speak a couple of times at the Banner of Truth Ministers, 300 ministers, giving a vote of thanks to the waiters and waitresses and cooks, bringing them all out. We give them books and things. And that's been a great fun for me to do that. I'm trying to explain to them what we are. We're not yuppies, we ministers. We're not young, upwardly mobile, and we're not dinkies, dual income, no kids. That's not. We are tulips. That's what we are. And then I explain to them what tulip stands for. Totally unappreciated, low income preachers. It was a young boy who was asked by his friends in church if he would be the bearing the ring in their wedding. And that meant that in the end he sat at the high table next to the Presbyterian minister and the bridal party with his mother and father looking on all the time. And he behaved himself impeccably. He modelled himself on the Presbyterian minister. So whatever he did and said, the boy did as well. So they came, and they came with the offer of either some soup or some other fruit. And the minister said, I'll have some soup, please. And the little boy said, I'll have some soup, please. And then they brought the next course, and all the vegetables were there. And he followed the minister, kept his elbows in and ate, and his mother was smiling and encouraging him all along. And then they had the choice of dessert, and he could have cheesecake or he could have chocolate marshmallow, and he did exactly, and his mother was approving him. And finally, after the coffee and the after eights ended, the waiter came to the Presbyterian minister and he said, would you like anything more, sir? And the Presbyterian minister said, no, thank you, I've had an elegance of sufficiency and I'm satisfied. So he came to the little boy and he said, the little boy, sir, now would you like anything more? He said, no, I've had an elephant and a missionary and I'm sanctified. There was a young couple in a church, and it was their responsibility to provide hospitality for the visiting minister. So they got home together, and they asked the minister if he'd like a cup of tea, and he said he would. So they put him in the parlour with a little girl while they went to make the tea. And the two looked at each other for the longest time. And finally the minister said to the little girl, I wonder what we're going to eat today. And so she looked back at him very seriously and she said, goat. He said, no, I meant what food we were going to eat today. She said, goat. Goat, he said. Yes, I heard Daddy say to Mummy yesterday, remember, we've got that old goat for dinner tomorrow. All right. I've got a verse for you all. Three things that God wants you to know. Familiar words from the prophecy of Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him. All right, three great, great truths. The Lord is good. He's good. The being of God. There's nowhere in God himself, nor in the mansions in the land of Zion above, where there's anything that is ungood. No little cupboard under the stairs, no dark spot. Not a molecule that is less than good in the heaven of heavens. You go into him and he's good, and in, and he's good, and in, and in, and he's good, and in, and in, and in, and in. And all you find in God is absolute goodness. And all the things that come to us from our lives come because of that. And you can go around a hospital and you can talk to the person that you've come to see, and then you go to the other beds and you can say to them, the Lord is good. Hasn't God been good to you? You can say to them, though they're sick, the Lord is good. He is good to all men because of a covenant that he's made with Noah and his seed. That though there'll be groaning in the world and wickedness in the world, and every imagination of men's hearts is only evil continually, the Lord is so restraining, so kind, so patient. Every good and perfect thing comes to us from him. All good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. And the wisdom and the restraint and the blessings of family life and all the joys that we have, our appetite, this fine food we've had, what a lovely meal this is, and all bought for us by the agony and bloody sweat of our Saviour, that God is good to us because of Jesus Christ and what he has done. And all men benefit from that. God's love for the world brings blessings to the whole world. But he's good to his own people, isn't he? So wonderfully good to us. Can you remember how good God has been to you? That he's given you a new heart. That he's made you a new creation. That he's forgiven all your sins. All your sins. That he's working all things together for your good. He's put everything under an obligation. If it touches you in any way, as gentle as a mother's kiss when she wakes up her little child, or a tremendous earthquake that hits Haiti, it's going to work for our good. He's going to supply all our needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. He will do that. Nothing will ever separate us from his love. He will cause all grace always to abound to us. He can teach us contentment in whatever state we are in. Nothing will ever separate us from his love. When we walk through the valley of the shadow, we'll have a hand in his, and he'll have a rod and a staff to drive away all anxiety and fear in that day. The Lord is so good to us, and oh, what blessings lie before us. Heaven, a banquet, and joy, and no division over Brexit or anything is going to trouble that blessed place. The Lord is good. That's the first thing. Let's remember that. When your wife or your husband contracts Alzheimer's and you have a tough few years caring and loving and burying, the Lord is good. He's always good. And the second thing then that he says to us, there's a refuge in the day of trouble. There's a day of trouble. The Lord is good, but there are days of trouble. And of course, the heresy of the health and wealth people, they don't see that. The Lord is good, and so it's going to be the Mercedes in the drive and holiday homes in Florida and no ill health, money in the bank. The Lord is good, but there are days of trouble. Should there not be? Did our Lord Jesus not know days of trouble? When the Apostle Paul lists what he, the greatest of all Christians, knew in his life, weren't there many days of trouble that he had? The closer we live to Jesus and with Jesus, won't trouble come? It's bound to come if we are faithful and holy and Christ-like. The world will treat us like it treated him. There'll be days of trouble, but there's a refuge. There's a refuge in the day of trouble that God always provides. There's a castle in Aberystwyth where I lived for 50 years. And when the Viking boats came, the trumpets would blast and the people would run down from their little homes and hamlets, and they would come into the castle, and the drawbridge would come up and the portcullis would come down, and they were safe, and the soldiers guarded with their bows and arrows and spears and kept them safe. We have a refuge. We have a great rock. When John the Baptist had his head cut off, they made great lamentation and buried him, and they went and told Jesus. There was a rock, a refuge that they could go to. When Mary and Martha lost their beloved brother, they sent a message to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. We've got a refuge, a place where we weep our tears and where we find our comfort, and the one we can thank for all the blessed gifts that he gives to us and all the promises we can plead, exceeding great and precious promises. Where do you all have a refuge to go to? When your shoes wear out and you're in the wilderness, when your car fails its Ministry of Transport test, when you haven't got a mortgage payment, when you're suddenly unemployed, when you discover the lump, have you got a refuge? Jesus Christ is our refuge. Jesus Christ is the great rock. How often, when pressed by the foe, have I fled to my refuge and breathed out my war? How often, when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul, hiding in thee, thou blessed rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee. It's wonderful to have a refuge in the days of trouble that will come into our lives. Troubles by the spoonful, joys by the bucketful. That's the Christian life. Thirdly, he knoweth them that trust in him. He knows us. You know that in the scriptures the word know means love, doesn't it? You only have I known of all the nations. Well, of course he knows the Babylonians and the Egyptians, and he knows the Americans and the British. He knows us through and through. But there was just one people that he loved, that he showed such patience and made provision with such promises of deliverance and salvation, and his people. He knew them. He loved them. Adam, he knew his wife. That knowledge was passionate. That knowledge was intimate. It was his wife. He knew her. And God knows us. He knows the history that's brought us here tonight. Each one of us would have a story to tell. Some of us, blessed parents, whose quiet singing occupying all the work that she did around the house was accompanied by him singing. My 14-year-old friend said to me one day, "Your mother's remarkable, isn't she?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "The way she sings hymns all day." I thought, his mother doesn't sing hymns. I thought every mother sang hymns. I had that atmosphere. Ah, what an impetus it gave me to know the Lord she knew. we all have a story to tell of the goodness of God to us, the love of God that drew us, the preaching we heard, the books we were given, the radio, the sermon audio that we listened to, and there was a new world that came to us. God's grace reached out and touched us. He knows those, he loves those who trust in him. So keep trusting. Keep trusting. Hitherto has the Lord helped us. Here we've raised an Ebenezer this week, haven't we? We felt something of the blessings of the God we adore, his kindness and love. We look forward with hope. These three words that he brings to you tonight. He's good. Never doubt it. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold. He's strong. Loving and strong. A stronghold in days of trouble. And he knows those who trust him. If your trust is as fine as a spider's thread, but if it is lodged in Christ, it's strong enough to take you over the lake of fire and over the bottomless pit and set you down faultless before his presence with exceeding joy. Because it's not our love for him that will save us, but his wonderful love for us. Keep trusting in him. Keep trusting in him. Let's sing one verse together of Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this occasion that we won't forget. Thank you that you are a good and loving Father to us, that you are a stronghold in the day of trouble. And oh, we are so glad that you love us. And that's what we sing of most of all, a love that will not let us go. We pray that all that may be the blessing, the benison, the strength, the upholding of sermon audio in the years to come, as thou hast watched over and done exceeding abundantly above all that was asked or thought of 15 years ago, and how thy blessing has rested upon it. Oh, help us to say, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name be the glory. So please watch over us and give us safety in our travelling home over these next days. We know that we shall soon meet at Jesus' feet, and pray that we'll bring many with us, especially those we know and love. Forgive our many sins, accept our many statements of thankfulness. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.